Under heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. This is Brother Arnold with the Repair of the Breach broadcast, Restore a Page to Dwell In. A lot of people don't even know there's been a breach. The Bible talks about a breach. And he said he's going to build up the old waste places and restore the path. And said, they that be of these shall be called the Repairer of the Breach, Restore a Page to Dwell In. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to show you the path. And been talking a lot about his true name, the only name under heaven you can be saved by, and trying to show you the paths to walk in to keep his appointments. A lot of people don't care about his appointments. They got their own agenda going. They got their own God, denomination, organization, preacher. They'll get madder at you if you speak against their preacher than speak against the Messiah himself. They will. Try it and see. Say anything you want against the Son of Yahweh or the Father. They don't get near as mad. If you say something against their preacher, they'll be down your throat. They'll be on your back. Like a chicken on a June bug. You know why? Because that's their God. That is their God. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. What he says is law. What he says in his interpretation of the Scripture. And it's in all the denominations. From Roman Catholic Church on down. They got their gods. And they worshiping the creature more than the Creator. You know, you can prove the Scripture. The Bible said, "Prove all things and hold fast that which is good." You know, you can even prove the Word of Yahweh. There's a place in the Bible. One comes to mind. It talks about how the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. Did you know that was in there? Think about it. You go churn milk, you're going to bring forth butter. And you start doubting Yahweh's word if it don't mean what it says, and you start doubting it. Just reach up there and wring that old long nose of yours and see, don't it bring forth blood? The word of Yahweh is right. As the churning of milk brings forth blood, or so the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. We'll talk a little bit in Proverbs 15. And the reason for it is Brother Matthew was quoting a verse over there in it. I got to looking at it a while ago. All of it's good. It's all good. And profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. I hope everybody had a good day today. I tell people, I don't have no bad days, just better days. I don't have no strangers, just friends I've never met. You know, I don't got no aughts against anybody. Another way you can prove the Word of Yahweh is it teaches a soft answer. That's in Proverbs 15. Teaches that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Try it and see. Try it and see. Next time somebody cusses you out with a horn, beep, 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 you know, or something like that, don't cuss them out back or whatever. If it, let's say if somebody, you walking down the road, an aisle, somebody bumps into you, or you clumsily bumps into somebody, or vice versa, don't know who bumped into who, and they were to say something like, "You clumsy thing, why don't you watch where you're going?" Well, you could give them a soft answer and turn away their wrath. Let's say you caused them to drop something or something. You could say, "You're right, I'm so sorry. I should have been paying more attention to what I was doing. I'm sorry." Well, see, that turns away. That's a soft answer. That'll turn away their wrath. They ain't nothing else they can say. You pull out in front of somebody and you apologize. "I'm sorry, I should have been paying more attention. My fault." Well, that's the end of it. Or you can give them grievous words and stir up anger. You can say, "You dummy, you need to watch where you're going." Or there's a lot of things you can say that'll stir up the anger, proving the scripture is right. You know, I planted some apple trees 7-8 years ago, and I remember reading in the scripture how that you plant an apple tree or a fruit tree, and you don't actually eat of the fruit of that tree until the 5th year. A lot of people don't know that. You know what it says? It said the fruit of that tree is uncircumcised to you. The 4th year, you offer praises to Yahweh with it. The 5th year, you can eat apples. And if you'll do that, I believe the tree will produce abundantly for you. And I asked this guy, he visited one time, he was from Washington, they grew apples. And I asked him something about apples. I asked him about how old a tree is before you get your apples. And he told me that a tree does not produce good apples and really quality apples until the 5th year. And I asked him, did he know about the scripture? And I told him about the scripture says it was the 5th year that you're to eat of the tree. And I guess most of the apples you probably get out of the store are circumcised apples. They probably from trees, 10 or more years old, 10 or 15 years old, I guess. But anyhow, the Bible is right. The scripture is right. Now, Proverbs 15, it says here, get my magnifiers on here and see what's going on. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pourth out foolishness. The eyes of Yahweh are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, Brother Matthew was reading this and said it looked like he throws this in here, how the eyes of Yahweh are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, he sees the tongue of the wise that's using knowledge aright, but he also sees the mouth of fools that pours out foolishness. Now, there's other verses that talks about the eyes of Yahweh are to and fro in the earth, looking for someone to show himself strong in. Verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." That word prudent is wise. Verse 6, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." You know, there's other verses talks about how that let me see if I can quote it in memory. Talking about how a poor man can be happy with a morsel, and a man great riches, a lot of times, you know, if he ain't serving Yahweh, he can't be happy. You got millionaires and movie stars and people that commit suicide. Money ain't what makes people happy. Of course, I told one brother, you know, he said he always could shout a little louder, a little better with a few dollars in his pocket. And I can agree with him. I understand what he's saying. But, you know, money, what I'm trying to say, money's not everything. But, you know, there's a verse that said, money ain't sure for all things. A lot of people don't know that, Senator. It says, a feast that is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money ain't sure for all things. And if you think about it, there ain't too many problems people have that money won't answer. I believe it should say a lot of things or most things, but anyhow, that's what it says. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You know, one place in the Bible says that he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers are abomination. I don't want my prayers to be abomination, do you? Well, I don't want to turn my ear from hearing his law either. For this of their flesh shall you not eat, or remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. One brother said, I keep every day holy. Well, you can't keep every day holy because he didn't make every day holy. He said, you got 6 days to labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the holy. It's the Sabbath. It's the holy day set apart. Now, you can live holy every day. There's a difference between keeping the day holy and living holy every day. Big difference. You should live holy every day, but you can't keep every day holy. You can't keep something holy he didn't make holy, and he didn't make every day holy. According to Scripture, verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto Yahweh, but he loveth him that falleth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before Yahweh, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. In other words, they'll go find somebody they think's going to agree with them and ask them, what do they think, before they'll ask somebody that knows that they're going to tell them. Like the prophet over there, he told him to prophesy smooth things, and he didn't. I think it was Isaiah, Jeremiah, one of them. He said, thus saith Yahweh, and he laid it on him. He said, see there? He never says anything good about me. he wanted to find him somebody that prophesy smooth things to him. Well, they're out there. They'll tell you, don't worry about it. You ain't got to keep his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgment. Yahweh knows we're but flesh, and he knows our heart. Well, sure he does. He knows our heart, and that's where he's got us at. If our hearts condemn us, the Scripture said he's greater than our hearts. So we definitely don't want to do anything that would condemn our heart, because he's greater than our heart. Verse 12. Okay. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. I done read this, won't hurt to read it again. Neither will he go unto the wise. Here it is, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. That ain't what I thought it was going to be. Verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. But once in a while, like I tell people, I throw out a little goat feed or tell a joke or something to cheer them up. But the word of Yahweh is what's going to save you. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart have a continual feast. Verse 16, I like this. This is one I was talking about a while ago. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful, turn the page here, man is as in a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh upright. You know, the Bible teaches, above all, get understanding. You know, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And I guess I'd probably be good to give his phone now. Somebody might want to call in and ask some input to what we're talking about. I didn't have nothing special to talk about. I just want to encourage everybody that Yahweh's word can be proven, and all his ways is righteous and just. His law is for us today just as much as it's ever been. And the number here, we're live on WWRB, is dial 770-483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. Questions, comments, answers, whatever. You know, I remember a story there about Abraham. A guy told me that it's supposed to be handed down and based on a true story, and I don't know if I can tell it like he can, but it really touches me how that he says that Abraham and took a man in to eat, a poor man, and was going to say the prayers and bless food, because I believe the scripture teaches to give him thanks after you're eating and are full, according to Deuteronomy. But there's nothing wrong with blessing the food and giving thanks before, because he lifted the bread and blessed it there at the Last Supper there. But he said, Abraham, this man didn't want to give Yahweh thanks for the food, and Abraham wasn't going to feed him until he did, and man refused to do it, and man left. And Yahweh spoke to Abraham and asked him, why didn't he feed the man? He said, well, he didn't want to give you thanks, Father Yahweh, and I didn't think it proper for me to feed him your food. And Yahweh spoke to Abraham and told him, said, I've been feeding him all these many years, and he ain't never given me thanks. And Abraham ran out of the house to go get the man, and caught the man and offered to bring him back to his house, begged him to come back to his house and eat with him, and even offered to carry him. And the man was reluctant, but he went back with him, and he asked Abraham, why did he change his mind? And Abraham related to the man what Yahweh had told him, that he fed him all these years and he had never given him thanks. And the man was touched by that and gave Yahweh thanks for the food. So you never know, just because what we may think something is right or wrong. The Bible teaches that he calls his son to shine on the just and the unjust, and he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. You have a garden out there, and that old neighbor of yours, no account for nothing, and his garden gets just as much rain as yours over there, and it gets the sunshine. even the thorns and the briars, they just praising Yahweh there in the rain, just like the wheat and the barley and the precious herbs there. And so is that thorn, just, you know. So he pouring out his spirit. People are feeling it. They're in these churches, and they're waving and shouting and just like them tares. And but then you got that wheat. But we don't know who the wheat and who the tare is. He said, just let them grow together. He'll pluck them out at the end. And so, you know, we got to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. A lot of people are going to be damned because they don't believe. They say they believe, but they don't believe. The Bible teaches, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You can say you believe. The Bible said the devil believes in one God and trembles, that he has no works of righteousness. If a man believes unto righteousness, he'll start keeping Yahweh's law. He'll keep the true weekly Sabbath when he hears the truth about it and looks into the matter. The seventh-day Sabbath is after six work days. And every month, the new moon is not counted in with the six work days. So you know what that does? If the new moon is not counted, if it's a worship day and not counted in with the six working days, guess what? Your six working days and your Sabbath will be on the eighth day of the month. Because you'll have your new moon worship day, then you'll work 6 days, then you rest the seventh day. It'll be the eighth day of the month, every month. Be a half moon, thereabouts, then 6 more work days, rest the Sabbath, be a full moon. Then 6 more work days, rest the Sabbath, be a waning half moon when the moon starts going back down. Now you say, well, how do you know that new moon worship day is not counting in with the 6 working days? Because the scripture teaches it in Ezekiel 46, 1 and verse 3. He says the gates of Yahweh's house is to be shut the 6 working days, but open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. You see, your Sabbath and day of the new moon is not counted in with the 6 working days of the week. That's not hard to figure out. Plus, you got Genesis 1:14 where he says, let them, talking about the sun and the moon or the great lights there, let them be for days and years, signs and seasons. And the word season there is a Hebrew word, is for appointments. Well, if you're going to let the great lights be for appointments, why not the weekly appointment along with all the other appointments? Well, Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3, he said, these are my feasts or seasons. Same Hebrew word, it's translated feast there and seasons there in Genesis 1:14, but it's the same identical word, and it means appointments. He said, these are my appointments. And guess what? The first appointment is the weekly appointment after 6 working days. Now, Psalms 104:19 really puts the cap on it. So icing on the cake, it says, he appointed the moon for seasons. Same word as in Genesis 1:14, where it said, let the great lights be for seasons. Signs and seasons, that word appointments. And if the moon is appointed for appointments, and Leviticus 23 says the weekly Sabbath is appointment or feast, and the moon is for feast, that should end the debate. Especially when you add that in there about how that it's impossible to keep a traditional cycle Sabbath of 1 through 7 uninterrupted from the Garden of Eden when men began to travel east and west around the globe. The reason for that is the ones going east will gain time because they'll see the sun sooner and sooner than the one, and they'll keep the Sabbath before the ones that stays in Jerusalem, there in the Garden of Eden. And then the ones going west keep the Sabbath after those that are in Jerusalem. In other words, when the ones going east get on the opposite side of Jerusalem, let's say, they'll be keeping the Sabbath 12 hours before Jerusalem. Well, the ones that goes west, away from the sun, they get on the opposite side of the earth, they'll be keeping the weekly Sabbath, uninterrupted traditional cycle, 12 hours after Jerusalem. Now, if one's keeping it 12 hours before Jerusalem, let's say one tribe going east, and the other going west, keeping it 12 hours after Jerusalem, and they're sitting in the same house, on the same sofa, drinking a cup of tea or whatever, they're 24 hours apart in their cycle. Now, of course, it would be their ancestors, let's say, that migrated east and west. 1,000 years later, they meet up. Well, they're in two different days. That's an absolute fact. As sure as the air we breathe and the food we eat. This is why they created a man-made international dateline, is to tell them, say, now when you cross such and such point here, it's an imaginary line, it's not real, add 24 hours or subtract 24-hour day, because if you don't, when you meet somebody over there, you're going to be on two different days. and this was discovered way back now. This ain't something I'm making up. Magellan, when he sailed around the globe and got back to where he started from, he found that he was in a different cycle, a different day than when he left. You see, people don't think ahead. They don't know. They just follow in tradition, and they don't prove all things. You can write or call for a free book, or go to our website and check some of this stuff out. The website is lunarsabbath.info. That's lunarsabbath.info, by information. Or you can call, soon as this broadcast is over, their code is 770-483-8542. 770-483-8542. I'll send you a free book that proof that the true weekly Sabbaths are determined by the phases of the moon. Won't cost you a dime. You can get this information and search it out. And if you see where we're wrong on something, let us know. We'll either change it or show you where it's right. Now, somebody's calling here, but my time is just about over. I got about 1 minute. And let's go ahead and get it from Nashville here. Go ahead, brother. You got about a half a minute.
Hey, Brother Arnold.
Yes, sir.
Before you, I was going to ask you, before you could go off every, you know, on your broadcast, you could let us know, make sure what Sabbath it is. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it rolled low. What we done, we had our new moon day today, and our Sabbath will be on this day. Rest will be on Tuesdays. But I appreciate you calling. I meant to do that. Somebody else told me I need to do that.
All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Our Sabbaths will be on Tuesdays, and they'll be on the same day it was last month. It's just the Roman calendar makes it look like they're floating, but actually theirs is floating. The Sabbaths will be on Tuesday. Our new moon's on Tuesday, and we just Sabbaths will be on Tuesday. So go to our website, lunarsabbath.info. We got a calendar over there. You can call us. Again, it's number 770-483-8542. So you can hear us, too, at Friday night at 10:30 instead of 9:30. Tuesday night's 9:30. Friday night's 10:30 on WWRB. Till next week, may Yahweh bless you. And let not your heart be troubled. Shalom.